Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Isherwood Incident by William H. Crist Jr. uncovers dark mysteries of the U.S. Naval Academy between October and November 1987. The U.S. Naval Academy operated daily in its mission to train future naval officers. However, there existed several troubling developments during that time that the Navy refuses to acknowledge ever took place. Drug usage, theft, hiring of questionable employees, the biggest secrets concerning the mysterious disappearance of some officers and investigators. The Isherwood Incident takes you below the beautifully landscaped lawns of the Academy into the foreboding world of darkness that resides under its hallowed halls. William H. Crist Jr. is dedicated himself to being a visionary. A Vietnam veteran, former radio personality, a graduate of Mount St. Mary's and Eastern Illinois Universities in the 1970s, worked as a graphic artist for the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis during the 1980s that led to a successful career as an art teacher with the Baltimore City Public Schools. William has continued as an architectural consultant, a fine art artist, currently bishop in the New Catholic Church of North America. He turned to writing military adventure fiction beginning in the 1990s. A historian of the 20th century, currently living in Baltimore, William H. Crist Jr., author of The Isherwood Incident, is our guest on This Week in America. William, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. It's good to be here.
This is such a wonderful story that you tell so well. Let's jump into the inspiration. Where did you get the information, the background on this, to turn this into this gripping book, the riveting book that you've written?
In 1985, I was working with the Naval Academy as their graphic designer, and the technicians working with me were installing Ethernet cables underground to connect the buildings of the Naval Academy with each other so they could begin a computer network system. But it was quite archaic, but Ethernet was the way to go to at least link the companies together and the classrooms together. So we had installers, and one day I left my art studio and followed the technician down. He opened the manhole, and I went down into the darkness of this subterranean world, and they were working next to 22-inch steam pipes. There were hundreds of lengths of pipes and vaulted brick, moldy, slimy ceilings, and water was dripping on the floor, muddy floor. These caverns had been built in the 1860s during the Civil War to allow the naval cadets, because they were not called midshipmen till after World War I, but the naval cadets could go into hiding in these caverns underneath their buildings to take shelter, like a bomb shelter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because the academy sat next to the Severn River, and the Chesapeake Bay was a scene just below us in the Norfolk area, Hampton Roads area, where the Monitor and Merrimack fought to the finish. And the Civil War era brought naval research and development to a new level with the metal ships instead of wooden ships. But the caverns underneath the academy were very eerie, strange. They had red lights running down the extended, as far as the eye could see. When the workmen went down there, they had special authority. Well, I returned topside into the bright sunlit, and my eyes had to adjust. But over the years, 5 years later, in the 90s, I started writing, and The Isherwood Incident is my second book, and on the cover of the book, I worked in the Nimitz Library which is featured here on the side.
Oh, yes, we can see that, yes.
And this is the new activities building that was under construction in the 1987 era. But from 1985 to 1987, Isherwood Hall sat at this location and was boarded up and dilapidated. And it was designated to be torn down to build the new activity center that's featured on the cover. So my story began in the early 1900s after the Spanish-American War. And in 1903, Cadet Albert Herlock and his roommate, Cadet Kelly, they both were out on a mission on the Severn River to do sextant readings in their dinghy rowboat. And it's in beginning of October, leaves are changing.
Oh, yes.
The chill is in the air. And they bump against something. And they thought it was a log floating in the river. And lo and behold, the log slithered away. It was a creature that they both were mesmerized and had never seen before. Well, they did several sextant assignments, and they encountered the creature again, and this time it tipped their boat over, and Cadet Herlock fell into the river, and the creature bit him on his left shoulder, and he was in dire pain, and they were able to maneuver back to shore, and Albert Herlock, who was going to graduate in May of 1904, had started keeping a daily journal of his life at the Naval Academy. And for the first 3 years, he wrote the daily activities in English. But his senior year, he started the semester writing the book, his diary, in Latin.
Fascinating. Wow.
And in Latin, his roommate, Kelly, says, "Why are you doing this in Latin?" He says, "Well, it's for the educated ones."
Or those that were older boys. I can remember learning Latin as an older boy back in the early days. The book, by the way, that William is talking about is The Isherwood Incident. That's I-S-C-H-E-R-W-O-O-D Incident. The author is William H. Crist, Jr. You'll find the book published, by the way, by Global Summit House. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. And William's website, williamhcristbooks.com. All that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So you got our attention now with this creature that was there. Go back, pick up on that story. And your thoughts as you're finding out, you're doing your research, you're finding out that there was a creature there. Is that what got your attention for all of this story and thinking, I've got a story I have to tell here?
Well, it's just that when I did research in the Nimitz Library of looking at the yearbooks of the early 20th century and seeing their dress to be able to describe the uniforms, the admiralty, the way the academy had been set up. It was about a third the size that it is today. And they only had several hundred sea cadets. And they dressed more like enlisted sailors with the bell-bottom pants and the 13 buttons. But the thing is, something happened to Albert, and the word tigamus in the book means we touched, and I had about 30 or 40 Latin phrases that I had written in English and met the instructor with the Friends School in Baltimore who taught Latin. And she was able to translate for me my English sentences that were going to become spoken in the book, to have someone translate the Latin and tell the hero what it all meant. And this took place in the 1980s, but I mean, I met with the Friends School Latin teacher in the 1990s. And by translating my storylines into Latin, I thought gave it a mystique, and a different sense,
yes,
of foreboding. It's a Gothic horror novel. It takes place in the early 1900s, and then the creature seems to reoccur again in the 1980s. But what has happened is there is a family now that has this curse, and each generation of men for four generations have had troubling episodes of emotional mental illness through what great-grandfather Albert suffered encountering the creature. And the book leads up to a climax that is very, very fast-paced, adventuresome, exciting, and very destructive. I would like to say, today in our time, we have NCIS, which is Naval Investigative Services, Naval Criminal Investigative Services. But in the 1980s, it was only NIS agents, which is Naval Investigative Services. And the guys came from D.C. to the academy to see what was going on after Isherwood Hall was demolished and strange things were happening, like people disappearing out of nowhere and vanishing for no reason, and investigators vanishing, doing investigations. So something is really going on seriously behind the scenes, because recovered corpses in the steam tunnels are in bits and pieces, like the people have been crushed physically.
Yes.
So the creature exists, or the creature is total fiction. I mean, the story's all made up, but it is a creature feature, and the setting is the beautifully landscaped lawns of the Naval Academy.
Well, yes, in the cover of the book, the Isherwood Incident, it's beautiful. Yes, you can see the beauty, the aura of the U.S. Naval Academy, and this is... What was their response as you were writing the book and wrote the book? Were you able to get any input from them and anything?
No. It was 6 years after I left working there. No, I was not connected with them.
Yes.
But I had worked there for 4.5 years and had experienced all the different department heads, the organization of the academy, as it was in the 1980s. I got to meet President Ronald Reagan, who was the speaker at graduation. I got to attend 4 ceremonies where they toss their hats up in the air.
Oh, yes.
I got to attend the Army-Navy game. The job had perks with it. But once I left there, I went back to teaching elementary school in the city. And that gave me time to focus on writing, because no matter what school assignment or what class of pre-K through fifth grade I worked with. September had art projects. Each month of the year was driven by what the students were learning upstairs in their classrooms, if they're studying history or US or about the oceans or dinosaurs. I would have art projects that would complement what the teacher was giving them upstairs. And the children were so excited to come to my classrooms. But I never had papers to grade in the evening. So I could come home, the children took all their artwork with them every class.
Yes.
And I was able to come home and have time to myself to realize where my story was going. And I would get up at 4 a.m. and write till 7, which was probably about, I would say, you write for about 6 pages, 7 pages, until your characters come to a decision which way to go next. And then you stop writing and you continue with your daily routine, your evening routine of relaxation. And the following morning, you know exactly, or I did, where the direction of the characters, what decisions had they made.
Yes.
I could sit down and continue to write. It was just a lot of fun.
Well, this is a story that obviously you wanted to tell, and you've done it so well. Boy, time is going by so quickly with our guest, William H. Crist, C-H-R-I-S-T, Jr., William Crist, Jr. The book is The Isherwood Incident. If you're Googling, I'll spell Isherwood again for you, I-S-C-H-E-R-W-O-O-D. Book available wherever books are sold. You can go to Amazon, WilliamHChristBooks.com. A good place to go because you've got information there you'll find on other books that William has written. The book is marketed by Global Summit House, a publishing and marketing company that caters to the author's needs. That's Global Summit House, a publisher of this book. Talk about a few minutes left here, other books, because this is not your first book venture. You've done other books, including children's books.
Yes, I have. I have an adventure novel called Secrets of the Golden Hourglass. It's about the Naval Command in San Diego. And I have another book called The Farnsworth File that involves the Vietnam War, hippies, communal love, and involves a situation where things happened in the 1970s and then they reoccur in the 1990s. Secrets of the Golden Hourglass has a Aztec curse attached to it, that people who have the hourglass end up in a bad way. So
I can imagine, as only William Crist can do. I love your imagination and where you go with these stories. What are you working on now? I've got to believe with that fertile mind of yours, you've got something else you're working on.
Well, my children's books were Little Bo, about the birth of a baby rainbow born in the clouds without color. And Little Bo has to collect all six of his colors to be seen by everyone. Jeffrey's Boyhood Adventures is me growing up in Baltimore in 1955 and 56, and my life when my parents moved to the suburbs, and all the different things that happened to me. But I wrote the book under Jeffrey. Jeffrey has been my alter ego. So Jeffrey experienced exactly what William did.
Okay, gotcha.
And we have Imagine That, about inner city public school fifth graders in 1993 getting a loaner computer for their classroom from their principal. And the man who brings the computer tells the children he lives inside the computer and his name is CD Backslash. And he's a DOS character. And he takes this 1993 classroom children of multiracial and ethnic groups into on a field trip to virtual reality for the first time. And then the children are returned back to their classroom in full size, and there's only one computer. And they want to know why their school cannot get more computers. And in 1993, computers were $3,000.
Oh, yes.
And they said that they have to have military, government, colleges and universities, and some preppy high schools had computers, but not public school inner city children. There was no money. So the kids came up with the idea to go around and solicit businesses and get donations and use computer parts. And they built a 15 station computer lab in their fifth grade inner city school. And the principal and the mayor say, the children did all this by themselves. Imagine that.
That's just such a remarkable. I love the stories. I love what you're doing. And all of those books, by the way, you'll find at William's website. That's WilliamHChristBooks.com. A minute or so here, wrapping up Isherwood Incident. This has all the elements of a movie. Any talk about maybe doing this into a movie of some kind?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
We are excited to have. I adapted the book to a movie script, and what would happen in the early 20th century would be in sepia tone colors with the traditional old uniforms, and in 1987 it would be in full color. So the people would have an idea of the flashbacks, and that's my visual thinking.
Well, I'm hoping that we can see the Isherwood Incident on screen. In the meantime, you can read it. It is a riveting read, excellent reviews, The Isherwood Incident. That's I-S-C-H-E-R-W-O-O-D. William H. Christ Jr. is the author, our guest on the program. His website is WilliamHChristBooks.com. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places, marketed by Global Summit House, a publishing and marketing company that caters to the author's needs. William, the time has gone by way too quickly. This has been fun. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for sharing this remarkable story of Isherwood Hall and the Isherwood Incident, and we'd love to do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program. It was great fun. Thank you.
All right, Rick, thanks.
You're welcome. Once again, the book, The Isherwood Incident, William H. Christ Jr., the author. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.